When you track with Bible prophecy and mysteries, and sometimes you get at the gate really soon and you wait there a long time, and then events of the earth catch up and you're going, wow, there it is. And it's really exciting to see what's going on concerning what's happening. The word that God's given this house concerning the crown, it's been, like you know, a very long journey, but I believe all this is going to come into some serious relevance very soon. Already we're seeing things happening now that are forming the foundation of what God really wants to do. This political revival we're seeing is only phase one. Phase two is coming out from the throne of God. And these are the things we're tracking with, and it's very exciting. I want to just back up a little bit and rehearse some things that we were tracking with 7 years ago, 6 years ago now, but it'll be seven next year, which is very important, 7 year anniversary. Why don't you go to Isaiah 45. Very, very powerful, powerful chapter. Of course, we thought all this was going to happen then, but you know, heaven has a different timetable and there's some things that need to get orchestrated, but God has something. The Lord Jesus has been sitting on himself promises. The Father promised him the nations as his inheritance. Legally, they're his, but his harvest is coming. His reign over the nations is coming. The whole world will come under the authority of the Lord Jesus in the thousand-year millennial reign. One of Carlos's incredible revelations of Zechariah 5 is happening as we speak. The suspension of the Babylonian harlot and understanding what that is, and we'll try to talk into that, but all of that is happening now. We thought it was going to happen last election, but there was a lot of shenanigans, we know, but now things are happening. But the political revival is only phase one of what God's doing. A financial revival is coming for the body of Christ in an unprecedented manner. A revival of glory, the glory of the latter-day house will be greater than the former. It's coming in an unprecedented manner. God's church is about to rise out of this political revival. Already righteous men put in positions, overthrown evil on a monumental level. But that's only the beginning. God wants to overthrow all of Satan's kingdom. He wants to overthrow the law of sin and death. He wants a revival of life in an unprecedented manner. I'm talking about not just lifestyle, but life itself that'll override death, that'll override sickness, infirmity, disease. All the things the Lord Jesus paid for is coming to pass in an unprecedented manner. It's really awesome. You can just feel it in the spirit. It's glorious to see what's next. I mean, we're tracking with all this, and I'm excited to see our word coming. Like, there's words are coming, but our word's coming. One's been hanging in that wall. One's been carrying some of this stuff for 35 years. Actually, it's going on 37 years now. Okay, so Isaiah 45, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I've holden the subdued nation. Loose the loins of kings and open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. You have to understand, this was a prophecy to King Cyrus that he would invade Babylon. And Babylon's walls, nobody believed they could ever be breached. They were so thick they would have chariot races on the top of the walls. Nobody ever believed that Babylon could be invaded and overtaken. But God gave promise to this king named Cyrus. He says, I'll go before him, I'll make the crooked places straight, I'll break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. I will give him the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of the secret places, or treasures of darkness was vaulted treasure. The darkness is, I'll give him treasure that are in vaults. There's a huge mystery around this verse right here. That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, have called thee by name, and I am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, or for my church now. For Israel, my elect, for my people, you can call it. I've called thee by thy name, Osiris. I've surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. When God originally called Trump, Trump didn't really know God, but he had to pass through this thing, but God called him and he put him in position as the Cyrus, and he did some very amazing things, but he needed to go through a process like we all go through. How many of you have ever been processed? And when you go through a process, you tend to die. And there had to be a big process. But in that processing, he came to know God. really know him. And you can hear him. He speaks openly of it. He says he's a born-again Christian, and you have videos of him. He also attributed to God saving his life when that bullet grazed his ear. He goes, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be alive. He knew God had preserved him for a role that he had to return to. He had to return to his role as Cyrus, but in the beginning, Cyrus didn't know God, and Trump really didn't know him that much either. But he got to know him through the process. When he got to know him, because God had a plan for Cyrus, and God had a plan for Trump Cyrus. And God had confirmed this plan when they produced this coin. This coin was produced back in 2018. As if you don't know, back in 2018, see on the, this is 70 years fulfilled. A lot of you didn't know this, but on May 18th, we were here the night of May 18th, 7 years ago. We were having a service here. We all dressed up in suits because we thought the time of the crown is at hand. So we were all here. We were ready because we were tracking back then. We knew God put Cyrus in because he had a promise to him that he was going to release the children of Israel out of captivity. They've been in captivity for 70 years. When he said, I'll give you the vaulted treasure or the treasures of darkness. Let me give you a little 2-minute, 3-minute history. All this is in our teachings. We go into great detail, but I'm not going to go into that today. But when David and Solomon, which it really goes back to Abraham, but I don't have the time to get back to Abraham. But David and Solomon, they birth a golden era generation. Like, it was the eighth wonder of the world. There was no time in history like Solomon. The glory was so magnificent. Kings and queens would come to hear his wisdom. They'd get converted. What happened to the queen of Sheba was happening to all the kings and queens. There was such an amassing of wealth in that time, and prosperity and abundance and songs and the sound and poetry and the word. It was a renaissance of God during that time. It was just amazing. After Solomon's fall, his wealth, his temple survived 400 years. Say 400 years. We trace this out in our teachings on the King of Tyre and all this. 400 years, it survived 8 different plunderings. 8 over 400 years. All that wealth was amassed in a place called Tyre. And we get into all those revelations. Aha, the gates of Jerusalem have been plundered and now I'm replenished. And the king of Tyre, he was rejoicing. It was all the wealth of Solomon found its way to a place called Tyre. And it became the merchandising mart of the nations. Isaiah 23, Ezekiel 26, 27, 28. So much so that the king of Tyre, the devil himself, called himself the king of Tyre. Ezekiel 28. Described as Lucifer himself. And that's how God got me into a teaching about the king of Tyre. He did this a long time, even before I was in ministry. He said something to me one day. He woke me up and just spoke to me. He said, why would the devil in all his pomp and glory call himself the king of a city they spread fishnets upon when he boasts to be the god of this world system? I don't know. I don't even know what Tyre is. I have no clue. And that I started this long entrenched teaching, and I went into the word and started emerging and found that this king emerged off Solomon's wealth. The devil never does anything. He always counterfeits. Everything he ever does, he steals it from what God gives. God gave it to Solomon, he came and stole it. And after that, he became the king of a city, and it became a global enterprise. It became a global trading market. And God prophesied the ruin of that city, that Nebuchadnezzar, he goes, I'll bring Nebuchadnezzar upon you, Ezekiel 26. The horses will come. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the same time he's taking the children of Israel into captivity, remember all the wealth of their nation, God's always preserving what's his. Even though the enemy thinks it is in his hands, it moved from Jerusalem to Tyre. Then Nebuchadnezzar comes and he takes Tyre down. He moves all the treasuries and the wealth of the house of David and he puts it in vaults under Babylon, the vaulted treasure. And that's when God was prophesying, I'm going to give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places. I'm going to give you the vaulted treasure. So all the time, watch this. This is really amazing that the children of Israel for 70 years were in captivity because of their idolatry. All the time their captivity, every day they woke up, every day they prayed, their wealth was sitting right up underneath them in vaulted treasure. It just followed them. And so God had commissioned Cyrus, gave him a commission, I'm going to give you Babylon. Nobody believed it could happen, but it did. He took Babylon down. He became the king over Babylon, and the reign of Babylon was over. Nobody ever thought it was happening. The spirit of Babylon is still very much alive, but that time the reign was over. So Cyrus takes it, and then he releases by proclamation. Here was his commission. His commission was to release those people out of that system. They had to come out of Babylon. They had to release, and they go back to the home country. They had to go back and build a house. They build me a house. They had to go back and build the house again. And God gives all these prophecies of this generation that's in Babylon. It's a prophetic generation. But during that time, he gives all these prophecies. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to release you from captivity. God knows how to release his people. He knows how to release them from the strongest gates, the bars of iron. It doesn't matter what's around. God knows how to liberate. When it's time to liberate, you're getting liberated. When it's time to liberate a nation, he knows how to do it. He knows how to raise the right person up. To liberate a nation, doesn't matter what the devil, his plans are. When God's ready, he's a covenant God. And when he's ready, he releases. And he loosed them. And Cyrus released them with all these promises and all these prophetic words during that time. Haggai, Zechariah, the stuff we've been tracking, all these mysteries. The wealth transference of Haggai. The glory of the Latter-day House would be greater. Zechariah 4, the crowning of the church, will really the promise of the crown. Zechariah 4, the crowning of the church. Zechariah 10, the run of the white horse, the war horse, the glorious horse. All these prophecies were given that generation. None of them were fulfilled. They go back. They come out, though. Say they come out. They get liberated. They get freed. They come out. And all the wise men start weeping. The old men said, this looks nothing like what we left. Because those prophecies went unfulfilled to that generation. The glory of the Latter-day House, greater than Solomon, never happened. It was for another generation. So now, here is a prophetic generation of the end times. And God raises, confirmed by the Sanhedrin priesthood, this is the Cyrus. Isaiah 45, president comes into office as the 45th president. I mean, more people have prophesied this over him. That's not a new revelation. However, during this time, they fulfill, the Senate produces this coin. You see the lampstand up there? Right above their head? It's the time of the lampstand. Zechariah 4. You see the right over there? Looks like a little building. That's a throne's chair. That's a king's throne. You see the king's chair on the top? Two pillars. Look inside the king's throne right in the middle. What's underneath the king's throne? See the little lampstand there? That's the one. But somebody was moved prophetically because that's the lampstand of Zechariah 4. That's the crowning stone that's going to come out. That's going to level every mountain and make it plain. But now is the time. So when Trump comes into office as the 45th, he said, you did not know me. I'm going to open you the two leaf gates. I'm going to do all this for you. He goes, though you don't know me. Trump didn't know him either, but he gets to know him. So he goes through this process. And even looks like the last election, God was still processing. When God has leaders, he has to process them. He's got to get the person out of the person and get God in there. Amen? And so as the process comes, he had to come back in office. We knew this. And all these teachings up there, and I mean, it looked like he was never even, half the Republican Party said, don't even run again. They were telling him, don't do it. You know, nobody likes you, the whole thing. It doesn't matter who likes you, who doesn't like you. If God likes you, you're getting back in. Because God does the appointing. Amen? But he had to come back. You know, and I knew it. I had all these teachings up there and I was catching heat. People were saying, you know, none of these ever happened. It's like, God's not done. So there's these prophecies in Jeremiah. Twice it mentioned the 70 years. That this other generation would come by 70 years after the day of 70 years. So what was so significant about this coin was at the end of 70 years, Trump comes in the day of May 14th and he moves the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem on the exact 70th day. And that's why they commemorated 70 years fulfilled exactly to the day. Jeremiah prophesied twice. At the end of 70 years. So we knew we were in timing. And guess what next year is going to be? the 7 year anniversary of that event. God's doing a lot in seven. Next year is 25, 7, double portion of the 7. 7 spirits of God. Hey, Chuck, this next year is our year. I mean, it's awesome. Glory to God. We went through this year of the 6, but we're coming into the 7. Hallelujah. So they commemorated, and we all thought this was going to happen, and then nothing happened. Because God has another timetable, but we knew we're in season. Carlos says, we're in season. We're in season. He kept saying, we know we're in season. And then 2022 comes along. What happens in 2022? There's another prophecy. And Isaiah said, after 70 years, according to the days of one king, I will visit thee, O Tyre, and you will become a merchandising mart of all nations, but your wealth will go to those who dwell before the Lord. So there was a prophecy there would be after the days of one king that this would happen. And we found out a king and actually reign, a kingdom lasted for 70 years. Never happened before. A single person reigned for 70 years. Queen Elizabeth reigned for 70 years in a prophetic generation. She died in, I think it's August. Let me see. I wrote it down. It's, she passed away September 8, 2022. 70 years she reigned. She was 96, but she reigned 70 years. Fulfilled Isaiah 23 spot. A double fulfillment of 70 years. So we knew, whoa! Say, whoa! We are double in season. 70 years come to pass. What does this mean? That God was going to call his people out from under the Babylonian system. This is about to happen. What is the Babylonian system? The best way I could describe it to you is what we went through with COVID. The whole COVID thing. You could see how they invaded liberty. They invaded almost every part of society. I mean, in Australia, they had helicopters with gunships on the beach commanding people, return to your house. This is the kind of global control they wanted. It was a trial run for them, but you could see it move in America. It was in the political, it was in the judges of Harris County shutting everything down. A judge that was elected just preempted everyone's authority and said, you're shut down. You could see it, that lady, I don't know if she's still in office or not. She was Soros appointed judge and she exerted authority. You could see everybody was wearing masks and now they're saying there was nothing to the mask. So people walk around with masks. They said there was nothing to it. Now they're admitting that we really didn't have the science behind it. It was a control order. Everywhere you went, you had to have a mask. You had to stand 6 feet from one another. All this was a control system. It was in the finances. It was in the government. It was in the political. It was everywhere. That kind of system, what the enemy wants for global control, he'll get that eventually in the tribulation era. He's going to get that, but not now. That Babylonian system is comprised of a global company, politicians, elite banking system, entertainers, you name it. They're all there. They're all up in it. And it describes her. In Revelation 18, 19, it describes the heart of the Babylon, enriching the kings of the earth and her ultimate doom will come down in the end of the tribulation era. I mean, God will judge it globally and she will fall at the end of the tribulation period. She's still intact, but God has done something remarkable. He invaded. You can see it in the election. You see how they propaganda. All this stuff they say is just so full of lies, but people believe it because it comes off the news. And it starts trying to shape the nation. The whole transgender movement was coming. All this stuff was moving through. That's all the Babylonian image. The whole thing. So God gives this promise to Cyrus. He says, listen, not only am I going to give you Babylon, you're going to break the gates, right? But you got to release my people from that system. That's what's about to happen. There is a call that the people of God have to come out, and that whole system, like Carlos said, you should hear his teaching on it in Zechariah 5, that she's going to get suspended in lead. That whole global system is going to get suspended in lead. God is shattering that right now over this nation, which is an amazing thing to see. Because we're going to see a golden age right now. How long it lasts, I don't know, because the Lord's still going to judge the nations in the end, but God has given us a window. Say, I'll call it a door, because he called it a door. He goes, I set before you an open door to the end time church of Philadelphia. I set before you an open door. No man's going to shut this door. To him who has the key to the house, he's going to open the house of David. He's going to bring out the house. It's returning to the earth, preceded by the crown. The seven spirits of God is coming into the earth. God, Jesus himself, the King of glory, is going to proceed his reign. He's sending out his own crown in front of him. And that's about to happen in the earth. What's about to happen is the church's hour. We're seeing a political revival. God has a nation. He called this nation for a purpose. The nations are the lighthouse. That lighthouse is going to break out into all nations. But he had to start with a revival, and it started with a political revival. You're going to be very thankful for that. That we don't have to do this under persecution. We get to do it under liberty. This nation has been able to preach the gospel under liberty since its conception. It's going to be able to continue to do so now. It's because of the political coverings restoring now, but getting ready for the run, the reign of the white horse. Those of you know what I'm talking about, know what I'm talking about, is the opening of the gates. We as a people are about to come into the liberty of God now. A freedom will come out from that system. I believe the financial system is going to shake, but over this nation in a good way. I believe a new, I was in the spirit this morning, so caught up. I saw a new currency coming out of this country. I don't know what all that's about, but oh my goodness. I saw a golden age, a new currency was coming out. Old things were passing away. A whole new day was coming, and the gates are breaking open. And I think it's going to move fast. It's going to move at God's speed. Say God's speed. And the breaking open of that liberty and freedom so God can bring a full lighthouse to this country so he can release a global revival. I believe that revival, the end time revival, will begin in this nation. But it's going to multiply out into all the nations of the earth. Many nations are already following what's happening in this election. It changed the tide of a global tide. And darkness is going to get suspended for a season. The Babylon system is suspended in lead. It's already being suspended. Wait until they get in office and start cleaning house. You know when Elon Musk took over Twitter X? He fired 75% of his people. Fired. They said, it'll never happen. It's never going to be fired. 75, and now it runs on lightning. He just posted something the other day. It was like 250 million followers. It jumped to 450 million. And he said, Twitter X is going to become the new media. It's the people's media. It's the people are going to start getting their information outside of mainstream media, where a few people control the content and try to tell you this is truth. The people know the truth. You get enough people together, you'll get the truth. Because the truth is truth, and you get enough people with truth together, it doesn't matter what one person's telling you out there. Amen? That same kind of house cleaning is going to take place. All this is preparing a foundation for God to move. Because he's coming on the outskirts of this political, you could call it a political revival. This is what's happening. But through that is coming heaven's will into the earth. There's more coming, my friends. God is about to bring and open the floodgates of heaven. He that has the key, he's opening the key to the house of David, the return, the imminent return, to fulfill the word of the Lord of Haggai, the gates. He said, the glory of the latter day house, say the latter day house, greater than the former. Oh, get ready for the day. You know, I was just thinking the other day, when you watch Elon Musk, brilliant man of our century. I mean, I was listening to this podcast thing with Joe Rogan. I know. I was just listening to him talk about something. And he said that he was talking to Elon Musk, and Elon Musk left that night of the election. He left 4 hours early. 4 hours before they even began to make any announcements, he said, well, it's done. And he named off, I think he said, Trump's got 312, it's done. He wrote some kind of algorithm and he sent his algorithm and then it told him exactly what was going to happen. And he said, it's done. Isn't that amazing? But he knew it 4 hours before the news media even started announcing. He knew the blue wall would be shattered and broken. All I'm saying is he's kind of like, he's genius. So if I could tell you what the seven spirits of God are going to look like when God sends the seven spirits of God on the earth, he's prophesied in Zechariah 4. He prophesied in Revelations 5 that there's another wave coming. Say another wave. He said, this is the seven eyes sent forth in all the earth. This is the seven spirits of God. When God talks about seven eyes, that's talking about eyes in the back of your head, in front of your head, above your head, below your head. That means seven is God's perfect number. Eyes give you the capacity to see. Seeing multiple dimensions, multiple places, seeing innovation, seeing before everybody gets there, you're already there. So if I could tell you what that might look like, he would be a good example. Because he's like a forerunner in everything. But it's like the seven spirits of God's upon that man. It's like that is what's coming on the church, that level of innovation. God's going to take simplistic people like Solomon. They did not know how to come in or go out. And suddenly he's ruling over nations. One of the greatest kings before his fall ever in the history of the world. He had a governmental harmony on him that was unmatched. In finances, in poetry, in arts, in business. Everybody wanted to do business with him. Everybody wanted to be his friend. The kings, the queens, everything. It shifted the whole earth during his time. And that's what's happening, but we're going to see that kind of anointing coming upon the body of Christ. We come out from under Babylonian thinking, Babylonian enslavement, Babylonian suppression. We're coming out. You don't know it's a spirit. How many of you felt when the election was won and something released? I mean, you could feel it. But all that's about to get cleansed off of this nation. And the glory's coming back upon the nation. The glory will come back on the church. The glory, but the church will become relevant in ways it never was before. It's not like Pentecostal holiness preaching where you point your finger, you gotta get repay out of the center. No, the glory's coming on the church. God will raise up people like he is today. They'll be moved in the political realm. They'll be moved in the financial realm. They'll be moved in the entertainment realm. They're gonna be moved in the educational realm. God will start positioning people everywhere. And the church will rise out of that. But there'll be innovation. Like never before. Innovation. God will take simple believers and suddenly the seven spirits of God will come upon them. And there'll be an innovation. Witty invention. Suddenly they know what to do. They know how to fix things. They know how to do it. That's what's about to happen. The body of Christ's turn is next. God's doing all that for you. For his people. Why? Because he wants to display a type and shadow. Think of this. The law was a type and shadow of the glory to come. The glory on Moses that came upon him. They put a veil over his face. So the children of Israel couldn't look steadfastly into the end of it. He goes, because that wasn't the true inheritance. But when he was in the glory of God, he could take the veil off. But it was the glory of his dispensation. That glory was to be done away for our glory. Say our glory. But now we have to come in to that level of glory. Now it's the time for the church to come in, like Paul was seeing another day. Even he was called to lay the foundation, but he was seeing another day. He said, let's go on to perfection. He started looking into the end time church. He started looking into God's plan to crown his church. A church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. That's not going to happen with human ingenuity. That's not going to happen with human will. That's going to happen by God's Spirit. And the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ is going to be exceedingly multiplied. Three times this morning in prayer the Lord spoke to me. He said, go before the Father. Ask him to multiply the law of the Spirit of life. Ask him to multiply. Ask him to multiply. Ask him to multiply. Let it be your prayer, like the prayer for wisdom was before. Now ask him to multiply the law of the Spirit of life. It's already in you. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. There's a wellspring in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's full of a lot of stuff we haven't even seen yet. It's full of innovation. It's full of life that can override generational dysfunction, generational poverty. It can override the mind. It can rewrite It's going to override and rewrite. Oh, this is about to come out from the fountain. Out from your innermost belly will flow rivers. So what I'm saying is, all of this has happened. The next level is the crown chair. The king's chair. The time of the kings is at hand. The time for the kings to rule and reign. As God anointed a priesthood in the early church, He will anoint His people to rule, to reign. There is an unprecedented time of goodness coming. Mercy, life, favor, glory, and grace. So every time you see something out there shifting and changing, God is doing it to prepare a people of this nation to move out into all the earth. He's chosen this nation. If you can't see that, then you're not looking. God has chosen this nation to rewrite, to strip her of the Babylonian system. When that system comes off fully, there'll be a liberty. But then God is going to take advantage and bring His glory out of that. A church will emerge, and this church will be commissioned for the whole world. Eradicating poverty, eradicating oppression, sickness, infirmity, disease, the eradication, and to bring light to the world. Salvation. First level of great harvest is coming. You know, I actually believe that it will be so glorious, not a single person. You know, there's time there, and if the devil would have got his way, you'd be asking God, take me home. But now, say now. There'll be a time that it's going to be so glorious that nobody's going to want to go home. Because heaven is coming to the earth. But in the moment, the twinkling in the eye, when God, and what is all this for? I'll just give you a little perspective. How many are liking this so far? What is this for? He wants to show the world what's coming in the 1,000-year millennial reign. When He sets up His reign, He'll cleanse governments of darkness. He'll cleanse communities of darkness. He will rule with a rod of iron. Light, life, liberty, freedom, glory, and blessing will be everywhere. He wants to give them a glimpse before the judgments of the earth come. He's going to judge the wicked. But His church is going to be lifted out in her prime. There's going to be a prime. There's a revival coming. There is a historic revival. I mean, it's going to rank in the greatest of all times. Souls of this nation, light. Because God's not coming out with something old. God's coming out with something new. He will bring a new breath of God, new song, new sound. You already see like Brandon Lake, he's already filling up stadiums now. It's a new sound coming out. God's going to bring His people out of darkness into a marvelous light in so many areas, not one. It's not just go to church and be who you are. All this is going to manifest over all the seven mountains. Everything is going to get upended, reestablished. But then God's going to turn that light, when He fixes it in this nation, He's going to turn it to the world. He's going to shine the glory of God out. I believe some governments are going to turn. Whole government's going to turn this hour as the glory of God moves out into the earth. The Bible says the whole earth in the last day will be filled with the glory of God. It said the seven eyes of the Lord was sent forth into all the earth. This is the seven spirits of God that were sent forth in all the earth. There's not going to be a single place that God doesn't touch. And we're on the precipice. We're already seeing God upended. God comes straight in and He upended it. This is monumental. I heard the Spirit of the Lord, man, this morning's prayer meeting was incredible. He was speaking. Something came out of my mouth concerning my future about something. You get a lot of things in your well. Things you don't even know are up in there. God pre-programmed your life up and He stuck it inside you. There are things that you're going to do that are already up inside you that hadn't come out yet. And He brought something out and I spoke it. And when I did, my spirit just, whoa. I mean, I started convulsing the spirit because my spirit goes, yes! It started shaking. I started shaking violently because it's like, yes, it's coming out. It's time. The time for things that have been hidden inside you are going to come out. The new you. Behold, I make all things new. There's a reason he said in Revelation 3, I set before you an open door no man can shut, and I shut it and no man open. He's going to shut the old and open the new. And when God shuts the old, nothing's coming through what he shuts. And when he opens, nothing can withstand what he opens. It doesn't matter if the whole world's against you. Let that be an example. That whole Babylonian system was against Trump coming back in office, and he did it. They were speechless. How could this be? How did this happen? Because God opened that door, and he did it because his church is following the new day. The church of Philadelphia will be born in a day that's following. We're in direct season. 70 years have been now fulfilled twice. And I heard this morning again, God was speaking some serious things. He said, this had to happen before what I've promised to come into the earth. We're seeing now the formations of the new day, the last day house, the glory that will be greater than Solomon's day. We're seeing it now. It won't be a single Solomon in the earth. It's going to be the people of God. The seven spirits of God will come over. Listen, if God could do that for Solomon, what can he do for you? The man did not know how to go in or go out. If you don't know how to come in, you qualify. Don't worry about all these people that are all qualified and everything. The less qualified you are in the natural, the greater candidate you will be. All you got to do is plug into his will, get in line with what he said, put it in your heart, put it in your mouth, stay with it, don't let go. It's okay to be the weak, the base things. It's okay, because if there's too much of you, you're going to get dismantled anyway. That was kind of what you saw on the global stage with Trump. There was a lot too much of Trump. And God had to get him positioned, and he did it in front of the whole world. It's hard sometimes when you're a public figure because your transformation is there for everyone to see. It's okay, but God's got to get you where you're clay in the hands of the master. So when he starts forging and forming you, you're not fighting him. You're conforming. So he can get you ready to fill you up with living water. To fill the water pots. The end time water pots are about to be filled. He's going to serve as living water out from his people. Living water. The age of revival is at hand. It's called life. If you want to summarize the end time revival, it's life and life abundantly. Life that's coming out of heaven, out from the Father. And I'll close with this. As the Father has life in himself. John 5, so he's given the Son to have life in himself. Both of them eternal life, and the Son to execute judgment. So he puts the eternal wellspring of life and he shoves him inside of you. That's what happened when you invited him in. You invited an eternal wellspring of life. And he says he's given Son to execute judgment. He's not judging you. He's judging the old you. He's going to judge the sin and death. He's going to judge the old stuff. He's going to judge generational dysfunction. He's going to judge strongholds. He's looking to overcome, to rise out of you. So it'd be like as the Father had life in himself, so he's given Christ to be the life, and so he's given you to be eternal life. Oh, get a revelation. You got a wellspring that's never going to stop. Eternal habitation of life. What we're endeavoring to do right now. What God has us on the crown, he has us on the life, is to break that well open. Break that well open and let it start flooding the body, flooding the soul, flooding the mind. A wholeness coming. Where there is no sickness, no disease, no infirmity. Even the day of Abraham and Sarah, where he rolls our body into the time of life. Say, roll me, Lord! This is the age we're living in. Rejoice. Something big has happened. Prophecies were fulfilled. God started this thing. Nothing's going to stop it. Phase two's coming. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready for the outpouring. Say the out with the seven spirits of God, the crowning glory coming on His church. If you've seen these forerunners, what they're doing, wait till the church comes up. Wait till what happens with the global church, even the church here. The light's got to burst forth first. And then it's going to run to the nations. He already said it would. He says it's going to run to the nations, run to the nations, run to the nations. He's going to run. The war horse, every oppressor will be put down. The Babylonian system will be suspended. Her suspension is begun. They're all running on the darkness. Where are they? Where are all their voices? All they're crying right now. Let God arise, His enemies be scattered. Look at the God of peace. Say the God of peace will put Satan under your feet. He's got a reign to His enemies put under His feet. Woo! Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.